All right, boys, we made it. Friday afternoon, beautiful Toronto, Ontario, Canada. The weather is spectacular outside, and I think that's kind of a troll job. I mean, if we're not really going outside and we're not out there down at the park or patio weather or on the range, would you want bad weather right now? Is that what we're looking for?
Storm, rain, sleet, ice. I mean, the bottom line is, Brian, people aren't listening. You just look outside. I'm in my condo looking out just on, you know, Humber Bay Shores or whatever it is. People are just, I don't know, they're all out there. I don't know what the hell they're doing, but they're not supposed to be. I know you're allowed to go for a walk, do what you like, but it just doesn't seem like nobody's, like anyone's listening. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think it is too. Our neighborhood has been quite busy as far as people walking around. I think there's a social distance respect, but I don't know if it's airborne or
this isn't neighborhood stuff. This is a bunch of people in Etobicoke down by the water, and I get it. You got to get out. You got to exercise. And I guess as long as you're staying away from people, but it seems like a lot from where I come from.
Yeah, my neighborhood's been actually really good. There were a lot of people out there today. Like people are, they have to get outside. You have to. You can't sit inside for months. You can't just freak out and pretend like the whole world is contaminated.
Agreed.
But you just have to abide by social distancing. And I've actually been really proud of my neighborhood because it's just like a given. No one, you start walking towards someone, they step 3 feet to the left, you step 3 feet to the right, you pass, you say hello, and you keep moving. We've run into neighbors, and it's just gone without saying. We're not doing a stop and chat.
No, there's
not
no
checking
stop and
in.
Chats.
Nothing.
Ever.
Nothing. And it's not rude. It's not even necessarily paranoia. It's just abiding by what the experts are suggesting. And I've actually been surprised. Even kids have been like, let me step back. You go ahead. Pass by. Yeah. Thank you very much. See you later. I think a lot of people are getting it, but it's obviously it's never going to be 100%, right? Yeah. No one's batting 1,000.
By the way, what kind of orders, you know how they, when sports teams or whatever goes to like rookie dinners and they show the bill. Now that you can order booze, like what kind of orders for pickup are we going to see?
Well, I think you're going to see some healthy ones.
I think you are too, but like if you're not doing parties, I mean, this is where it's going to get interesting because you know there's probably still kids that are getting together, right? They're telling their parents that they're not, but they are. And the old dial-a-bottle, I don't know if you guys ever took part in that back in the day, but it was famous in Toronto. And someone
what does that routine look like? You're like, you're out of booze, you're like, dial-a-bottle?
Yeah, so basically the way it worked, it was totally illegal. Like, there's no way it was on the up and up. And it was usually if you're underage, even if you're of age, you could do it. But they just jacked the prices. Like, someone would have a website saying, yeah, I'll drop off a Mickey of the worst vodka on earth, but it's going to cost you $70, and you're like, all right, you know, everyone's chipping in 10, and you know, maybe it's not a Mickey, it's like a 2-6 or a 40 or a case of beer. Like, I remember one time it was an after party, and we were all of age, we were into our 20s, but we were at someone's place, they ran out of booze, we found some character online, someone had a connection. This guy showed up with the worst options ever. Like, the worst beer I've never heard of before. And it's like, here, if you want this 2-4, they brew this in, like, you know, Saudi Arabia, and it's going to cost you $120 for the case. And we're like, yeah, I guess we'll take it. It's 3:30 in the morning.
I know. My buddy owns a nice steakhouse in Etobicoke, La Castile. They have an unreal wine list. Like, you could literally say, give me a filet and a couple nice bottles of red and go pick it up.
Yeah,
who doesn't want that?
Yeah,
that's amazing, but
I think the restaurants, they can't gouge you. Like, if you noticed yesterday, it was a big turning point because of what happened at Pusateri's.
By the way, Pusateri's, ban them. Don't ever go there again after what they did. That's the most despicable.
No, it's what? Not. You know what? It's supply and demand, and people were making such a big crybaby. You know what orange juice costs there? $13.
Exactly.
Why? It's because rich people go there.
It's like, overpriced. Exactly.
I shop there all the time.
It's
love
a jerk move, Jamie, what they did.
I know, but you know what? For it to be leading the 7 o'clock news, I thought was a bit rich. You know what I mean?
Like, well, everyone's turning on everyone. Now everyone is like, everyone's starting to lose it here. This is the sign that, okay, now we have to take down businesses And, you know, Pusateri's is a family-owned business. They gouge you anyway. The prices are outrageous.
Exactly. There.
And it's all situational. If I went shopping there, I'd be in gaming shoes. But I don't shop there, so I'm like, screw them, don't shop there. He shops there, so he's... I would be doing the same thing as him if I went there all the time, but I don't. So my philosophy is screw them. But.
I almost sent a note back internally because people were getting worked up about it. I was like, you really have a problem? Get on them about the price of their fresh orange juice because that's like $13. But yeah. I love it. And
well,
they make a
peach drink there that is just outrageous. I would pay $29.99 for a liter of that right now.
You know what, guys? I got to be honest. Like, I think you've cheered me up. I was... fuming to turn on the microphone today.
Why?
Oh, have you guys ever built something for your children? Like,
oh yeah, buddy.
No, no,
toy
no.
Houses, like doll houses, cars.
Okay, so, well,
everything,
that's the
yeah.
thing. So our little man is obsessed with excavators and tractors and all of that. So I thought, you know what? Like, we found this deal online. I think it was Amazon or whatever, to get like an excavator, like an actual riding one with the scoop in the front and everything. Oh, it got God. Delivered the other day. And I, at 2 o'clock today, I said, you know what? I'm going to, the little man's sleeping. I'm going to put this together in the next hour. I'll be fine. I opened this box and I don't know how much I would have paid to have somebody come over and help me. It was to the point now I'm locked in my office. I had to lock the door because I'm 2 hours in, I'm sweating, there's parts everywhere, there's a missing part, so the steering wheel won't go on properly, and this poor little kid is peeking through my office like trying to, he sees the excavator and is heartbroken, and I'm going to throw this thing through the window. Like, I've had enough. Like,
yeah, it's tough, man. It's at least you're not technically dealing with a timeline. There's nothing worse when it's Christmas Eve and you've procrastinated the whole time. You've had it for months. And you're like, all right, night before, I'm going to crack a beer. Kids are asleep. I'll fire up this thing with 14,000 pieces. And you start, you talk about a sweat and a furnace face. We had that a couple of years ago. We put together a kitchen. That I'm not even sure where we bought it, but it was so elaborate, and there were so many pieces and so many details, and it's like 1 a.m. It's into Christmas now. It's the 25th. By the time I'm wrapping this thing up, I had to get it done because I had been told for weeks, you might want to get going on that now. Get to it. Might want to get going. We got
and
time.
Every time
we got
they
time.
Say every time you think there's a missing part, it's not. It'll show up somewhere.
It's just, there.
It's like an IKEA piece of furniture. You're like. You try to get ahead of steps, and you just got to go back and do it step by step, and it's a royal pain in the ass.
Right. Well, that is frustrating. So hopefully we can make you, feel a little bit better about life this afternoon, Noodles. But we've got a lot to get to today. Mark Shapiro will join us at 6 o'clock. And there is some baseball news, and there's a Canadian contingent here that I think is very significant. So this speaks to the power of the union. The MLBPA is historically the most powerful union going, and they've already brokered a deal between themselves and the league on what's going to happen in order for them to start playing again, which I don't think any other league is doing that with their union. I haven't heard the NHLPA, I haven't heard the NBAPA say anything about them trying to work out details on how things are going to work once they actually return to play, if and when they return to play. But I think it says something about baseball's union when they're like, well, you guys let us know when you want to negotiate because we're not showing up until we figure something out here. And they did. And Jeff Passan from ESPN broke this afternoon. This is simply for this 2020 season, knowing that it's going to be postponed, potentially being canceled. There are three big points to be made here. The first one is they will only come back in play. This is the condition that I believe the players were pushing for. When there are no bans on mass gatherings that would limit the ability to play in front of fans. However, the commissioner could still consider the use of appropriate substitute neutral sites where economically feasible. So that would suggest the players are saying we're not playing in an empty stadium, which I think will affect the timeline. I think there's some wiggle room on that. But
what?
This is
I don't know. They won't be playing then.
Well,
yeah,
potentially. I mean, I hope by July we're gathering in in masses again. I mean, that's far down the road. We don't know it now. I know we've all been on different pages and have had different attitudes about this all week. And we're in the eye of the storm. I mean, there's every day there's more and more Canadians, more and more Americans getting sick, more and more Canadians and Americans dying. This is as bad as it's been, and it likely will get worse over the next 2 or 3 weeks. That's what the experts are saying. That's not some hot take or opinion. I'm just reading the room here. But I hope by July we're in a different position. I expect that we will be. But this is where it really gets intriguing for me as a Canadian. The second condition, there are no travel restrictions throughout the United States and Canada. So the way I read that, and you guys tell me if I'm misinterpreting this, basically the Jays are going to hold this whole thing up. Like, wow. What if the U.S. is like, we're open for business, and Trudeau's like, we're not. Our border's still closed.
Yeah, then that jams everything up.
I guess. Like, that's how I read it. We'll see what Shapiro can tell us about it. I'm glad Mark's on today. He's coming up at 6 o'clock. But that's my interpretation. If Canada doesn't open up for business, it doesn't really matter what's going on down in the U.S.
Well, you're right, Brian. But, like, if you're not opening for business, to me, you're getting, you know, information that it's not safe for your patrons. And you know, like, I don't think Trudeau and his government and his advisors are going to be like, no, we're just going to be on a hunch here, on a whim. I think what they're trying to do is do what's best for their citizens. And, you know, regardless, like, this isn't a political statement. It's more about, like, hey, you know, this is their opinion on how they're going to work their country. So you're right. It could potentially jam up the league. But I don't think they're just going to hold out. Well, everyone says it's safe. And then Trudeau's going to be like, nah, we need an extra 3 weeks to think on this. You know
well,
what I mean?
Well, I doubt it, too. I think both sides will work in conjunction. But I don't know that because when you hear Trump speak and then you hear Trudeau speak, it is a polar opposite tone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and what I'm saying
right.
is I think there's a chance Trump and the Americans are like, well, we're open. And Canada's like, well, we are too for Canadian mass gatherings, but we're not opening the border because we don't trust Americans coming in because we don't think you've got your stuff together, if you know what I mean.
But from what you're saying, Brian, it seems like the baseball players, just from those two things you've mentioned, it's like they're not coming back to play baseball until everything is back to normal. That's what it sounds like.
That's what it reads like to me. Yeah because the third condition is medical experts determine that there will be no health risk for players, staff, or fans. And the commissioner and the union still able to revisit the idea of playing an empty stadium. So, again, that is a caveat. I guess that's still a possibility, but that's a last resort. That's what it sounds like, the players. And this is a topic that I don't think has been brought up enough. We keep discussing the league, the owner, the commissioner. Well, the players have a say in this, too. And if the players are like, we're not playing, man, like, what are you going to do? You can't force them to play. If they all collectively come together and say, I don't care what you say, I'm not playing. LeBron James reiterated this again this week. He said, I'm not playing if fans aren't in the building. So if they're going to hold true to that, and it's easy to do it now because it's not an option right now. But
he
if
doubled
they're still,
down on that today?
Well, this week, I believe he said, I don't know how firm he's being on it, but remember, he said it a month ago or so.
But
when
then
he
took a step
question.
Back and said, well, you know, we got to do what we got to do. So then he's, what, circling back again?
Well, that's what I think LeBron will do what is best for LeBron, the Lakers, the NBA. I think he's trying to cater to the fans, which is likely a smart play. But I'm not sure they're reading. I'm not sure they're reading the room. Like, as a fan, I don't care if you don't play with fans in the building. I just want to watch you. Like, I'm not going to the Staples Center anyway. So I think the players need to be careful with this idea that they're stepping up for the fans. You're stepping up for 20,000 that would be in the building. There's millions that won't be there that want to see you play, and they don't care if there's anyone else in the building but the 10 guys on the court.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you're right. It's a to me, you're thinking about the local crowd. But, you know, your fan base, there's a lot of fan base, including, let's bring it to Toronto, the Leaf fans base. You know, a lot of people don't go to watch the Leafs in the building. They either can't afford it or can't get tickets. But, man, how many – it's a big number when the Leafs are on primetime, right?
Right, absolutely. Well, on the TV networks, man, I have to believe they're going to be a loud voice in this, and they're going to have a vote. Like, in the NHL in particular, NBC, they had plans of Olympic coverage throughout the summer. Like, that is their baby. NBC, they pay a fortune for the rights to the Olympics, and they were going to have 14 days, 15 days of 24/7 coverage that is now lost to them. I would assume they're probably calling up Bettman and company and saying, let us know, because we got a lot of programming here to fill, and we'd like to have you on. And they pay a lot of money, and the other guys pay a lot of money up here. And ESPN and Fox and TNT, everyone, these guys pay a lot of money in the TV companies. No one's losing sleep because of it. No one's tearing up because of it. But they're all, like everyone else, they're dealing with issues right now. Right. No live TV when it comes to sports.
Well, at the other end of the phone, if they're calling up saying, hey, a lot of programming, blah, 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 they're going to say, okay, turn on the news. Why do you think this is?
Yeah.
They're not stupid. They understand it. I understand there's
right
also
now
pressure
do,
points.
But,
there's
yeah,
going to be pressure
saying.
Points.
That's exactly right. Like, right now is one thing, but in 3 months it could be very different.
Yeah.
Right, and what O says, like, the word pressure point comes in. Now, there's a difference between, a high player, a guy like a LeBron James going, I'm sticking to my guns for the fans, and maybe doctors and everyone else going, hold on, it's safe, but what we are going to do is plan for a stepladder comeback. And what I mean by that, the stepladder comeback is, hey, we believe we've got the antibodies, and we believe we're through the worst of this. It's safe for the players to play, but what we want to do is get the players up and running, the entertainment business up, and then kind of filter the fans back in a month later. That's where it comes down to the principle of a guy like LeBron going, well, I'm not doing it for the fans. And then, like to you, what you said, Brian, the TV stations and everyone, the companies are going, hold on a second here. This is our brand. We need you playing because we need entertainment up and running now that it's safe.
Yeah, it likely is going to get complicated at some point. I don't think it's going to become confrontational or anything like that. But at some point, everyone is going to be like, all right, when are we going to start? When are we going to make some money again? When are we going to get the economy going? I mean, these are all big picture conversations that are not at the forefront, clearly, because it's about safety and health. And but I don't know. I didn't think we'd be here 2 weeks ago. I don't know where we'll be in 2 weeks, let alone 2 months. But Mark Shapiro will join us at 6 o'clock, so we'll get an update from Mark on this agreement between Major League Baseball and the Players Association, and get his take on a number of players on the team and what he'd like to see them do this year. So we'll catch up with Mark in the 6 p.m. hour. Craig Conroy coming up, longtime NHLer, front office member in Calgary. He'll join us in about 10 minutes. And I want to thank The Athletic here in Toronto. I'll tell you why I'm thanking them, and we'll get into what was a pretty creative and quality topic by Myrtle and the guys at The Athletic. We'll get to that. More coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Craig Conroy will be calling in just in a moment, former NHLer and assistant GM now of the Calgary Flames. And I assume Craig is working from home, and we'll ask him that. And I want to get an update on what's he doing at home. Like, what kind of work are you putting in if you're an executive? Are you scouting for the playoffs? Are you watching tape for the upcoming draft? Are there checks and balances? Like, is the GM or the owner calling you up and asking what you're doing
at home?
Well, I guess game tape.
Yeah, there's that system called RinkNet. So there was, you can go through like shift by shift of basically anybody who has put into their system, the shifts of a certain player at the AHL level, the NHL player or NHL level. It's kind of crazy. I used to work on it. It's pretty neat. You see a guy now on the bench. They could pull up the shift on the iPad 5 seconds later. All that information goes into a server, and then you can dial it up. So, these GMs and AGMs do extensive research now through video. And I don't know. I mean,
like, do you have to put a report in? That's what I'm wondering. I'm assuming you've got to justify. There's going to be a check and some checks and balances. Like, what are you doing at home? Yeah, we're not playing, but you got to prove that you're doing something.
Well, when I was scouting, I would choose 5 or 6 players to keep an eye on that night, maybe 5. And then either you were directed by the manager, or directed by your player personnel guy to, okay, we're looking at these players that are potential free agents or whatever. And then there was always 1 or 2 guys that popped off the map, either positive or negative, and you could put in a report on them. So you're watching a defenseman, a right-handed shot, blah, 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 and then all of a sudden somebody is just brutal, and you're like, this guy has zero effort, this guy. And you could put in the report, like, watching tonight, you put in the dates, the player, everything, it goes on their file. That night, this guy didn't give a you-know-what about playing, and he quit on this. And so it kind of, it's weird. It's almost like a, you know, a giant file that follows you around. Now, it's internally from team to team.
Wait a minute. So hold up. Team to team? So you're telling me that if you file a report, let's say it's in Calgary, Craig Conroy watches a game, Johnny Goudreau is brutal that night. He writes in, brutal, cheating on plays, looks lazy, looks out of shape. That means the GM in Edmonton can see that report?
No.
What are you, crazy?
But that's what he just said, team to team. Like, what do you...
No, that's what I'm asking for clarification. I meant from whoever, the organization watching from team to team.
Like their own team, within the team. Within the organization is what you're saying.
Right, but what I meant is if I'm scouting Calgary and Edmonton, I can put in reports on both teams, and I look at... you know, a certain player. So if I'm watching Draisaitl that
night. Yes, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
You know what I mean. Yeah, no, it's not.
No, I didn't.
Not.
I was like, wait a minute. Is this one big, like, NHL app that everyone has access to?
That would actually be pretty interesting. But what would happen is you'd start to see who was, like, really good scouts and really bad scouts. I remember being in a room and there was a scout saying, honest to God, this is what the guy said. He's like, I don't like this goalie. I think he was playing at Northern Michigan. He's like, Jamie, the guy is never on his feet. He always goes down on every shot. And I'm like, well, that's a style. Like, guys go in the butterfly. Oh, he's got to be on his feet. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to see my report. If I'm in the league, I don't think I'd want to know.
The Brian Hayes scouting report?
Yeah, like what my GM and assistant GM and scout and assistant coach and coach are thinking.
It all comes down to one guy making the decision
because nobody's
McDavid that's going to have 10 positive reports. You think of some of the trades that have been made over the years where guys are like, what? They traded for that guy? And you know that people have been told, this guy's a dog, he doesn't work, he doesn't do this, and somebody still pulls the trigger on it. Somebody will always pull the trigger on it.
Well, what's the point of doing a report for McDavid?
There is no report for McDavid.
What's the point? If you're a scout with the Oilers, yeah, I got McDavid tonight. I'll track his game. Just watching him and trying to get a read on what he can do better.
Fastest player in the universe.
Let's ask Connie if he does reports. Like, does he do mail it in reports? Like, okay, I've got McDavid tonight, which means, like, that's just I mean, there's all these drop-down things that you can add in too, right? Like skating is an A, you know, physicality, you know, think the game, all of that type of stuff. And this is years ago. I don't know. I'm sure it's evolved. It's
probably evolved.
Well, how would this email go over? Gentlemen, I'm flying to Vegas to do a report on McDavid and Draisaitl.
That'd be outstanding.
I think that's the
overdrive. I'll get back to you in the
morning.
Yeah. I'm staying for 3 days to make sure the report is perfect. Yeah. I don't want to miss anything.
I'm going to be in Nashville for 3 days to do a report on Ovechkin.
That's what I would love to see is the scout path. Like, I'm sure everything has to be documented now because you've got to sign off on it. You got to get it paid for, especially if you're flying or staying in hotels. But if there was ever just a black Amex black that is just endless, and you're the best scout in the game, and we've hired you to go anywhere you think you need to go, and you could track that character, and he's constantly in Vegas, Nashville, Florida, LA, New York, Chicago, never in Detroit, never in Buffalo.
Checking in on Kane in Chicago, gentlemen. I'll have a report in the morning.
The thing is, too, is the best part is when does that person put the report in? A lot of times the scouts will stay an hour after the game, or they'll fly or drive home, and then they'll put it in the next morning. Like, I would always laugh if I was the director of player personnel to see, when does a guy put in a report? Like, is it halfway through the second period and he's gone? like that? Because I've seen, like, I'm around those rinks a lot. I've seen, you know, scouts, like, after the second period, I'll go up to, like, the media room to grab a drink or grab some popcorn. And, like, a scout's got his hat on and he's heading down the elevator. Like, he's done for the night.
Right.
You know? Oh,
right.
Yeah.
He's seen what he had to see.
Exactly. So yeah. I wonder how that report is going to go down. You know,
I remember playing, like, I don't know what it was like for you guys when you were coming up, but when I was in Bantam, or minor Bantam, I guess it was, when that's when the OHL scouts would start showing up. So pretty much every game you'd play. And remember, in Ontario anyway, they'd have, like, the loudest team jacket on.
They were so horny to write, like, the Sudbury Wolves, like, giant ski jacket.
Loved it. Like, the loud red Sault Ste. Marie jacket. Yeah. You're like, why do you need to wear that? Like,
no, I know. Well, the good ones, the real upper echelon veteran guys would have just a black leather jacket on, but the Pigeons would have the Sault Ste. Marie ski jacket on. It was like a three-quarter length snowboarding jacket.
Yeah.
And they were so horny to wear that thing.
And they always had the collar popped.
Yes.
And they'd be just up in the stands taking notes, and you're like, really, dude? Like, okay, that's great. Like, the Sue's here, but was that necessary?
You know why it is?
And so I would say 70% mustache. Yes. 70% mustache.
Minimum. That's the line. That's the floor, I would say.
It's because that's the only thing they got from the organization.
Yeah.
Like, we'll let you scout. You can do it for free, but we'll give you a coat. That's it.
We'll give you a jacket. And there were some loud colors. I remember, like, Kingston had, like, the black and gold. You just knew that they were in the house. Ottawa had, like, the striped sleeve.
You know damn well that there was, and if anybody knows any stories or any backdoor stories, there was some Pigeon that wasn't a scout that had a jacket on in a clipboard.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
100%. 100%. Because now there's probably more money in it, so they employ, like, legitimate scouts. I don't know in junior. I don't know how much money's there in junior, but I know of, like, dads that would scout for teams. Like, their oldest son would be in the O, and their younger son would still be playing, and they would be scouting for the team. And I'm like, what would this, like, how biased is this guy going to be? You know,
I agree.
He's writing up a report on his own kid. Like, wow, what a night. You know, little Billy had himself an evening. Meanwhile, Billy sucks and shouldn't even be in the conversation to be drafted.
Yeah, but the move in junior, and I don't know if it, I'm sure it's still, I'm not going to out anybody, but the move in junior is you can't pay these guys. But it would be like, oh, okay, we want you. You're a good American player. We want you to come play in our tiny little town. And, you know, we can't slide you any money under the table. But, boy, your dad's going to be a scout for a team, and we're going to pay him $120,000 a year.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to scout any players. We're going to give him the coat. We're going to give him a clipboard, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard a few scenarios like that where you look at a good young player and his dad is, like, listed as, like, area scout.
Yeah,
and they're like,
that.
Oh, yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah. Listen, I don't blame the teams, and I don't even blame the dads. I'd be like, yeah, sure. It's not like they don't know the game, but, like, are they going to watch other kids play, or are they just like, hey, I'm going to be at the games my kid's playing in. If you want me to strap on one of these jackets and cruise around with a clipboard, I'll do it. You know, I'm sure, and again, in junior, it's a different story. Like, there's not that much money. I don't know how much money scouts would be making in the CHL or college hockey, because they're expecting a similar scenario to happen this year in the OHL draft. There's some American kid out of Chicago, I was reading earlier in the week, who's, like, clear-cut best player of his age. Like, there's no doubt he's going first overall. But he's told them he's not coming up. He's going to stay in the USHL.
Yeah.
Because I think he's from Chicago. And I don't know why Chicago wouldn't be in the WHL as opposed to the OHL. But anyway, it's an OHL region. And everyone online, like, I saw TSN post it, because I think Bobby Mack was reporting on this. And everyone's like, shocking. Somehow London will draft him with the 20th pick. And he'll have a change of mind. And all of a sudden he's playing in London. Like, you just know what's going to happen. But I think Craig Conroy's basically told us to take
Stuff
a lap.
What a loser. I'm so disappointed in him.
Loser.
I mean, you know what? Like, that's a former teammate of mine, too. You know what? I'm going to text him.
Yeah.
Give him some trouble.
You got to think. Maybe he's watching game tape. Maybe he's so locked in on someone's game tape that
he's got a free coat on and a clipboard, and he's trying to scout right now. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
You know what? On a Friday, we've had a good show. We don't want to mess with the mojo.
That's all right. He's mad at me. I've pissed off everybody with a couple of my, like, the Shawshank Redemption take is still alive online.
I'll tell you,
you're the only guy that thinks that, man. It's just legendary.
There's a guy who swore at you in the mentions.
Oh, I know. People like legitimately mad. Like longtime followers that usually engage, you know, in a peaceful way are actually telling me to like drop dead because of my Shawshank take.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Wasn't good, right?
It was. I thought
listen,
it was
it's
appropriate.
Your opinion.
It's my opinion. Now I'm on about cherries. I was talking about cherries yesterday, like a fruit, and I guess Cuthbert CC wasn't happy with my cherry take.
Why did you think cherries
dude,
are the
fresh
a
bowl
Lucifer?
Of cherries. A fresh bowl of cherries is a nice little thing at a
no,
table.
It's a colossal bust. I think it's the worst fruit. I said it's the Happy Arujo of fruits. The taste is bad. The texture is bad. The pit is useless. It sucks.
Yeah,
yet,
them and
cherry...
those garbage bananas. Bananas are crap, too.
I'm telling you, bananas. I wrote that out, that diatribe out. Like, I took 20
great.
Minutes and wrote that out. And somebody wrote in and said, I was basically, what's that guy from the Bubba Gump shrimp or whatever?
Yeah, Bubba Shrimp.
Yeah,
different types
it all
of
up.
Shrimp, yeah. That was
listen,
you.
I love the banana. I don't think... I think the cherry
so
is
a lot of people.
It wasn't necessarily a contrarian view.
Yeah,
it
I
wasn't your
it was.
Household anyway.
Well, it was because of the crowd I run in here. That's why.
Right.
Like it's I think the fruit that I struggle with is watermelon. Like to me that's it's got not much of a taste and you're dealing with seeds all the time. I absolutely despise it. It's messy.
I'm not a fan either. I'm not. I mean, but cherries are worse. Cherries, the worst fruit. It sucks. But as people pointed out, like cherry blasters are great.
Yeah.
They're great. You have like a cherry cheesecake. I'm down. But just straight cherries in a bowl, like you said, it's the strongest no guy possible.
Well, and cherry blossom is the biggest loser chocolate bar out there.
Yeah,
is it not?
That one does suck. Yeah. Is
Daisy,
that even
what
around?
What if I threw this at you? A nice summer day on the deck, a bowl of cherries. And a nice glass of Sauve Blanc.
Well, you might sell me if the wine, if they're a package deal. If it's a package deal, because I've got a bottle on ice for $6.57 in 1 second tonight.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah, wow. A little bottle of Stoneley just waiting for me upstairs. So
wow,
that'll be happening.
I thought you were a Kimmy Craw guy.
I love Kimmy Craw. I like Stoneley's quality. Cloudy Bay is way up there. Cloudy Bay is expensive, but every once in a while it's got to happen. There's some great. It's all one vineyard out of New Zealand. The Marlborough.
So, what do you
vineyard.
And the wife just sample? Like, have a glass each, or do you guys get into it?
No, we'll take the whole bottle down tonight. Like we have four or five Sauve Blancs that they're always New Zealand. That's my go-to. There's a couple great ones down in Niagara too. Should
I
actually
I know,
ask
but you guys roll it into some vodka sodas on the back porch and get into it?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I love it.
Yeah,
I
we
love
might.
It.
We got nothing else to do at this point, man.
That's true. It's pretty quiet around here.
We should ask Al's brother if Al's brother's from Niagara, is he a Niagara on the Lake guy or gritty downtown Niagara guy? Because
I think he just samples the fine wines in the different vineyards with no tarp and his underpants.
He's got the tatty routine.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going on a tour of one of the vineyards and coming down with a nice glass of Sauve Blanc, swooshing it with his underpants and no tarp, Al's brother?
Yes, I can.
Come this way. I'd like to show you a new grape.
It's an image I love, and I'm for it.
I think it's the other way. You're on a tour, and you look at that house, and there's a window up in the attic, and you see his face in there.
And his face, just with the look on his profile pic, look at the look when he's looking in the camera. That look is looking out at the window at you.
Yeah, from the attic.
And you will see something.
Yep.
We should check in on him.
We might have to.
This guy could be struggling right now. We have no idea.
We wish nothing but the best for everyone, but our boy Al's brother, we miss Al's brother. I was saying that earlier on. I did one of those Instagram lives with Carlo earlier this afternoon.
How'd that go?
Terrible. Like, because there's trolls now that have taken over the chat.
Oh,
so
really?
All the comments were from, like, anonymous trolls that were just, they took over everything. So you couldn't even have an interaction with people that were trying to ask questions and stuff. It was just all ridiculous commentary that basically chewed up the majority of our time, telling people to shut up, you know, trying to figure out how to block people out of the chat. But outside of that, I guess it went all right. You know, we just kind of, I don't know. There's no plan. We were just sitting there talking, more or less.
Yeah.
But Anyway, we'll get to Craig Conroy at some point this year,
well,
I would assume.
He just texted me. Apparently, he had it in his calendar at 2:45, not 2:25. So he's an idiot.
Okay. Well, we'll take him later, I guess, or we'll figure it out. We got James Loney coming up, longtime member of the MLB, get his take on the developments today in baseball between the owners and the PA. We got Mark Shapiro on the show just after 6 o'clock. Rays coming up. Four more battles in the Overdrive Madness audio bracket and the four beauties today. There's a bunch of really great clips. A couple of one seeds, too. So we'll play those later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, Ray Ferraro will join us in about 20 minutes. We've got four more battles in the Overdrive Madness audio bracket that we will unveil this afternoon. Mark Shapiro at 6:05. James Loney will join us here in a moment. Longtime MLB player, played with the Dodgers, the Sox, the Rays, the Mets, played over in Korea, and was one of the great high school players ever, too. Was a pitcher and a hitter. And
what a rotation, though, as far as organizations. Like, that's kind of as good as it gets for rotation.
Yeah, that's basically you're playing in all corners, like two in the American League, two in the National League, Dodgers, Sox, Mets. So New York, L.A., Boston. I mean, that's yeah. And then throw in Tampa, although, you know, Tampa.
It's still Tampa.
Yeah, like the weather's nice all the time, and the trop is brutal. But still, I mean, if you're in the majors, you're not complaining.
Not at all. Like you say, those cities are fantastic. And then, but baseball is just as a whole. Like, I think the NHL may get to something like that. You want to talk about being creative with scheduling. Was it Jonathan Toews that, with a researcher, took a look at how much they travel? And would you be down for, like, the Leafs go, you know, go into Edmonton and play two games, or go into Ottawa and play two games and almost go for like the weekend instead of like just one-offs on the road?
Yeah, that would be kind of cool, specifically with the Western Conference, right?
Right.
Like, it would give you an opportunity. Like, I would love if the Leafs played Edmonton four times in a year, because they go to Edmonton, they play Thursday, Saturday in Edmonton, and then a month later the Oilers do the same thing in Toronto. That would be – well, it would open up opportunities anyway.
Yeah, but if there's no McDavid, you're not even coming close to saying
that. No, I know, but right. You're right. But what I'm saying is Jonathan Toews looked at it. It was like a sleep study and a travel study, and they were looking at shaving off like something of like 4,000 miles of travel on the body by having these weekend series. So I don't know how it would – I actually have to – I'm trying to rack my brain of how it went down. But it was very creative. It was almost a baseball-style scenario where they kind of played like, that's it. You're done with Edmonton in October, though, unfortunately. Like, it's not four games.
Do you remember that one season where you didn't play anybody anywhere? You just,
yes.
Like, you were in your division and in the same conference. It was brutal.
Yeah. It was, because you didn't get to see top players sometimes, right? You're right. Remember, I think it was people complaining like, Crosby hadn't been to Alberta, you know, in 2 years type of thing.
That was, well, it was exactly what happened. When they broke out of the lockout, they weren't going west, I believe, or they were only going every other year or whatever. And everyone was saying, wait a minute, Sid and Ovechkin, these are the two best young players the league has seen since Lindros came into the league. And we're out here and we can't even see them. They're not coming here. So, yeah, that was a big part of it.
It was, but I mean, you want to talk about creativity, especially if you are going to try and tighten the schedule. Like, let's say we get hockey in August and September, and then you're going to try and tighten the schedule to get 82 games in and not hurt, you know, the integrity of next season. They may have to get creative with scheduling something like that.
Well, so what you're saying is you would maybe alternate every year in terms of who would play where. So, in other words, 1 year you'd play Edmonton twice, but it would be in Edmonton both times.
On a weekend series, exactly.
Then the next year it would be in Toronto both times, and then the next year it would be back in Edmonton both times. So is that what you're saying? I mean,
I brought it up, but I should have. I remember reading the article. I think it was an Athletic article out of Chicago, and Jonathan Toews had kind of just mentioned it in an interview. And I thought it was fascinating because it was more of like a statistical research of, you know, how much miles. Because I think it was something crazy where like Chicago played in like New York, went back home, then flew out to Boston, then went back home, and then we're in Ottawa. And they were like, why are we going three times out east, past time zones, all of these types of things? Like,
right.
We should be going out and going on little road trips or, you know, doing a weekend series with these teams so that you're done with them. And I remember reading the comments of people saying, well, I don't like that because sometimes, say you play Winnipeg earlier in the season and your team's not going that well, you'd like to see how you measure up against them later in the season. Whereas it was almost talking about like you kind of get your teams in all in like one weekend and that's it. You move on to the next team.
Right. Well, you're never going to have a perfect schedule
No.
because of just the logistics and the sharing of buildings. In Chicago, like the Hawks share the building with the Bulls. So there's how many teams in the league in the NHL share a building with the NBA? It's got to be, 10, 12, 15 teams, and maybe more than that. So that would be the complication. But I do think it's a lot better today than it was, 12, 13 years ago than it was back in the day. Like, everyone's playing the flashback games, and we bring it up quite often, that 93 series between the Leafs and the Kings. That was in the semifinals. Like, mm-hmm. that was – the Leafs were playing against the L.A. Kings in the semifinals. Not the cup final, not East versus West. They were both in the same conference. That was when the Leafs were out West. And, like, just thinking about that, the Leafs would have been playing a playoff game, a massive Game 6, and the puck would have dropped at, like, 10 o'clock at night. Like, could you imagine them playing? Like, it's one thing if it's a cup final, you know that they're going to adjust the times and they're going to try to make it work, even if it is a team in the Pacific time zone. But imagine playing first round. Leafs are playing tonight. Oh, yeah, the game's at 10:30 tonight. They're playing San Jose, which is another thing that happened, I believe, in the next year, the 93-94 run. They played the Sharks, I think, in the second round. They would have been playing second round games at 10 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, that's tough. Like, they, you know what? People would complain, but you're right. Like, there's...
Well, they've adjusted that, clearly, is the point. I mean, we're not in that position. You might get to it in a cup final because it's East versus West. If you have the Kings playing against the Bruins, they'll make LA, it's going to have to start at 8 o'clock, 5 local, because it's a cup final. But they're not going to make that adjustment or do that if it's in earlier rounds.
Detroit played LA early on, and they had a back-to-back in different... Like, they played in Detroit, next night in L.A.
Right, which is
that's crazy.
Crazy, I mean, for the biggest games of the year.
Even when I got suspended, guys, like, I slashed that Franzen on a Saturday afternoon in Detroit. We played, that was game 5. We played game 6 in Calgary the next night. It was back-to-back from Detroit to Calgary. That's crazy. Like, it doesn't make sense, but, you know, that's the type of stuff that I was just looking quickly. We should get into this, but it was, he was talking about playing in your division 6 games against each team, and you do 3-game series. You do a 3-game series in one city and a 3-game series in the other city.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I'm at this point, again, I hope they're taking everything into consideration. It's not so much for the rest of this year, but I'm sure right. You guys saw that a lot of these NHL players today have been doing live chats. I saw McDavid was on one with Giordano and a couple of other players. Sid was doing one. Getzlaff and Kopitar and I think Fleury and Couture were on one. But a lot of them were saying that they believe you've got to play regular season games. Like, that they're not believers. Now, some guys don't share this opinion. Other players have said, yeah, let's show up, and if we can get it in, let's go right into game 1 of the playoffs. But I think McDavid was saying they should play regular season games. Kopitar was saying that. Now, Kopitar's team is not in the running, but his argument was, you know, for the older players and a lot of the players, if you're off for 2 months, man, you don't want to just step right in and play game 1. The Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, how are you possibly going to knock the rust off? How are you possibly going to be ready? Are you risking injury if you do that?
Yeah.
And I don't picture them playing regular season games, but I wonder if they can play, this might sound goofy, but like a couple of exhibition games before the playoffs. Is that even possible? If you're back, you have a week and a half, week training camp, and you're going to play 2 or 3 games against certain teams, and then we start the playoffs.
I don't
Saturday
even know
night.
If they'll have time for that, Brian. It might be you got a week to get going, and we're going to do the playoffs. I think that's so far away. I've discussed that numerous times. I think that's so far away. But if it would be, it's like you got a week. Guys are in the playoffs. They're in the playoffs, and let's get out of here. We'll hand up the Stanley Cup and get the hell out of here.
All right, Ray Ferraro coming up in 10 minutes. We're 2 for 2 now. I think James actually ended up calling in, but he called in like 2 minutes ago, and we're out of time. So we'll see if we can get James Loney on at some point. Craig Conroy. Everyone's sitting at their house, but no one knows when to call into a radio show. So let's see.
I enjoyed the conversation. I don't mind at all.
Yeah, oh, we're
neither
good.
Neither did I.
It doesn't matter.
If I can keep my composure, everyone can.
Look at you. You really are a beacon of hope.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Al's brother. That's what it is.
Give me a little Al's brother just to calm me down and get everybody in the right mood.
Experience is a comb which nature gives us when we are bald.
Al's brother's farmer. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up. Mark Shapiro at 6:05, we think. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.